Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Christ the King Redemptive Ministries Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. I, along with my husband, Apostle Christopher McQueen, would like to take the time to thank you for joining us. I am your hostess, Prophetess Crystal McQueen. We want to invite you to share with us as we study the Word of God. It is our purpose to help you grow, mature, be healed, and prosper by teaching you the Word of God. We encourage you to get involved with the lesson. You may call into the show at 1-718-766-4583 or join in with the chat sessions during the show. We welcome your questions, comments, and prayer requests. Please visit us at our website at www.ctkr.org. This is a helpful place for you to learn about us and help us expand the kingdom of God. There you can become a partner with us and see our upcoming events. We are looking forward to sharing the Word of God with you. Be blessed in the Lord and enjoy the broadcast. Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Christ the King Redemptive Ministries Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. We are excited that you have taken time out of your busy schedule to join us right here to give God some praise and some glory. We just want to just rest up in the Lord, and we just want to have you all just prepare your hearts and your minds to receive this morning the Word of God from none other than Apostle Christopher McQueen. Just want to let you know, in the way of announcements this morning, every Tuesday at 7 p.m. and every Saturday at 10:30 a.m., join us right here for Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast with Apostle Christopher McQueen. Every Thursday at 7 p.m., join me for Prophetic Atmosphere. And you can hear us live right here at www.ctkr.org. That's ctkr.org. That is also our website. Take some time to get to learn more about us and the ministries here at Christ the King Redemptive Ministries. And also we have ministry sons and daughters that are overseas that also need your financial support as well as your prayers. Each and every one of us and our daughters do have a Facebook page. And if you would attach to them or like them on the Facebook page, there you can learn more about what they are doing, the mighty work that they are doing in God, and also know about the different needs that they may have. And you can connect with them right there on their personal website. But we're also seeking donations as well. We would love for you to become a vision partner with this ministry. Amen. We have a donate button right on our contact page. And please put in your information where you would like your donation to go. And we will make sure that it gets to the proper place. Amen. Amen. Also, we have on our website, if you would like myself or Apostle McQueen to come and minister at your church, we have a contact page. Please leave your information. Give as much detail as you can and leave a contact number. And someone will get in touch with you within 12 to 24 hours. Amen. Amen. Just to let you know, people of God, Christ the King, Redemptive Ministries has a Facebook page. Like us on our Facebook page. Let us know that you're out there. Leave your prayer requests, your praise reports. Amen. What God is doing for you. Also, we have WOPD, also known as Women of Prophetic Destiny. Leave, like me, on that page. Amen. Leave your prayer requests, your praise reports. I want to know what God is doing in your life. And let us know how this ministry is blessing your life. Amen. Amen. Those are the announcements for this morning. Now, as we prepare our hearts and our minds, let us receive none other than the angel of this house. Amen. Apostle McQueen. Before we bring him forward, let us pray. Father, right now, in Jesus' name, we thank you for your love. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. Even now, God, as we come, Lord, we just humble ourselves before you this morning. We ask in Jesus' name that you would just begin to minister to our hearts and our minds your word. Father, let this word that comes forth this morning bring revelation, bring wisdom, be the answer to someone's question, be the missing piece to someone's puzzle. God, let this word bring clarity. Begin to minister to someone concerning this word. God, let speak into their spirits this morning what it is that they've been seeking after you, God, in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, even now I'm asking that this word would bring deliverance, that it will set someone free, that it will bring someone back into the fold. God, that it will just turn somebody's life around in the mighty name of Jesus. Now, God, crown Apostle's head with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Let us not hear him, but let us hear the God in him. And also, God, touch your people that our ears may be attentive to your word and that our hearts would be turned from stone to flesh so that we may also not only be hearers, but that we would be activated to be doers of your word. Now, God, we just bow before you. We thank you and we bless you. We thank you for what you have done. And we thank you for what you're currently doing. And we definitely praise your name for where you're taking us to. We give your name all praise, glory, and honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Now at this hour, let us receive Apostle Christopher McQueen.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Come on, lift up a praise in this place.
Hallelujah. We bless your name, God. We give your name.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
We worship
your
name.
Lord, we praise you. We bless
your name.
We bless your name.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
You're the name above all names. You are worthy of all praise. My heart will sing how great is our God. Come on, sing it with me.
God has called us to demonstrate and to represent him in the earth. Amen?
Amen.
And I know the enemy is a little upset about that because he wishes that you will forget that there is an assignment, that there's a God to glorify. I like how they say it. There's a charge I have to keep, a God to glorify. Amen?
Amen.
And when we begin to speak of that, then we begin to speak of the fact that God called us to something. This isn't, just show up and happy we're here. We're here with purpose. We're here on purpose. Amen?
Amen.
And we're here for purpose. Amen?
Yes.
And as we begin to deal with those things, then we know that God can go ahead and bless us as he wants. Amen. So we're really focused on our assignment. Look at your neighbor and just say, be focused on your assignment. Come on. I mean, it's too many times that we talk about assignments and if your assignment was something that you wanted to do all the time as you were coming into it, I'm not talking about as you got down to it. I'm talking about as you began to get into it. If your assignment was something that you always wanted to do, then you wouldn't have to mature into it. Amen. We talk, y'all need to hear Prophetess Crystal as she speaks on the Thursday nights for Prophetic Atmosphere at 7 o'clock. You need to hear her as she begins to go into the Word of God. But one thing that we have to understand is that with the prophetic, there is the call, amen, and then after you get the call, you go into your time of testing, your time of development, amen. It is your time of putting on the mantle and allowing your flesh and your being to be constrained, amen, and conformed by that mantle, amen. And nobody gets a prophetic call and just, you hear I'm a prophet today and tomorrow I'm out talking the secrets of God into all of creation. No, you got to go through so you understand what to see and what to articulate. Amen. So there's a time of training, amen, as you become familiar with the mantle of your calling. Amen. And then there's when the time where you graduate into the office of that call. You see that? So as you begin to go along, some of that training in there is not always what you really want. Because it challenges your flesh. Amen. And it tells you that some of the stuff that you think is okay and would be okay, and if it was up to me, if it was mine, and if I was doing it, all of that stuff, it comes and says, get that out of here. That has no place in the assignment. That you can't go into a prophetic office with a chip on your shoulder. And the mantle will make sure that you have been sanded down on your shoulders so that there's no chip there. Amen? Am I telling it right?
Yep.
Amen. And what happens when you don't go through the process, then we find out that there are people who have office that they claim, but they haven't graduated or matured into. Amen. And you know when they mature into it because they can handle the office. Yesterday I was watching something on television. It was a show that had came on, and the young man was over one of the a team. All these people had all kind of intelligence. I think it was called Brain Factor or Brain Trust or something like that, some show like that. But what we found was is that when it came down to it, at the very end, when they had to slap somebody's hand, you know, because things weren't done right, that the young man said, listen, this is my team. I was the captain over it. So if anybody gets charged with it, don't charge the team, charge me. And they looked at him, and they was like, okay, everybody may leave. And as soon as he left, they started talking about, well, you know, he had leadership functions. And then he also had to work in within the team. So he had more pressure on him. And one of the owners of one of the companies that was there that was doing the judging, the one lady said, but this is the first time that we saw a leader not try to throw everybody else under the bus. And took the hit themselves. Ah, wow. That right there by itself is commendable. They brought everybody back and they let him go. They said, okay, we're going to honor your request and we're going to deal with you. Now, when you start dealing with these calls, you start dealing with these offices, you got to be able to deal with someone who understands that it's a team effort, amen. As I go up, you go up, amen. And when there's a hit, we ain't throwing nobody up under the bus. When it hits the head, it hits the head. Amen? Or when it hits the body. If I got shot in my foot or my hand or on my arm, would my head still know that I got shot?
Yeah.
Amen. So this isn't I'm not the hand. I'm not the foot. Listen, we're part of the same body. Amen? And we have to understand how that actually works. So we trying to separate ourselves. Your ministry and your call and everything else. When you get to a place where God has called you and God has dealt with you and you understand what this is really about, you be happy, amen, to step forward and go through the process and the training so you can do the things that God has called you to do. I don't know how people figure that they can get to God without going through process. Amen. And that's a wonderful segue into what we're actually dealing with. The other man. I am the other man, man. Because when we get to deal with this, we have to understand that as God puts us through the process, God brings us into a change. Amen. And I want you to know that as God brings us into that change, we have to be able to see ourselves, amen, properly as God has designed us. Amen. Look at your neighbor and just tell him, God designed you. Amen. You have to understand that since he designed you, he knows what your purpose is. So all while we're trying to help God to help us discover our purpose, God looking at us like we're crazy. because God knows exactly why he designed you the way he designed you. There are certain people that you're going to have to meet. There are certain people that you're going to have to minister to. There are certain situations that you're going to have to give testimony and witness of that God can not only take you into it, but God can bring you out of. And if you don't go into it, then you don't have a testimony of him bringing it, bringing you out of it. So, no, he didn't make a mistake when that happened. No, he didn't make a mistake when that transpired. You know, God knew exactly what he was doing, but it was for him to get the glory out of your life. Amen. Look at your neighbor and just ask him the question, can God get the glory out of your life? I mean, really ask that question, because sometimes we have to really look at what we put a limitation on God. God tells us to move. God tells us to do certain things, and we tell God about all of our inability and how we couldn't, and if it was up to me and where I would be. And God ain't asking you for none of that stuff, amen? God has a plan and a purpose and a design for you. God knows why you flat on one place, but you rounded at others, amen? Because maybe you're a plate, and he don't want what he's putting on you to run off the sides. Uh-huh. So you may not be good to hold a nice bowl of cereal because you're not a bowl.
Right.
But be the plate. Amen?
Amen.
How come I can't really jab into a piece of meat and take it off? Because you a spoon. You're not a fork.
Right.
You understand? Well, I don't know. If I was a fork, I could do. Well, stop trying to be a fork, because when it's time to eat some soup, we don't have a way to get it in our mouth without a spoon.
Right.
Be who God called you to be. Look at your neighbor and say, stay with your assignment.
Stay with your assignment.
Amen. When we stay with our assignment, then we don't get all mixed up and messed up in our minds. Amen. We get that way when we're trying to do something that God did not call us to do. When we're trying to operate in a place where God didn't call us to operate, we end up in the wrong. And we look at everybody else as if they're wrong. But we're not. They're not wrong. We're wrong. Amen. God designed us for a specific purpose, amen? Now, the reason why we have these problems is as we begin to look in our passage of scripture for today, 2 Corinthians 5 and 16, amen?
Amen.
Well, let's go on back up a little bit, because I like what it says here, amen? Let's go back up to the 14th verse, amen? And actually, we could take it up a little bit further to 12, but we're, for time's sake, we'll start about 14, 15, amen. It says, for the love of Christ compels us, because we judge us, that if one died for all, then all die. And he died for all, that those who should, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. So now, what I'm talking about here is when I become the other man, amen, then I stop living for myself and my own personal desires, what I want, trying to see things and make things come around a corner to my point of view and my perception and my perspective, and I begin to deal with it according to what God called me to do. Because my job on this earth as a child of God is to be conformed to the image, huh? The likeness of Jesus Christ, amen? So that's why God created me for this time, so that I could be a mere image of his son, Jesus Christ. Y'all see that? And as I am a mere image of his son, Jesus Christ, then I can properly represent Christ in the earth. Do you know that if I gave you a power and ability without giving you constraints with it, that you would tear some stuff up? The first person who cut you off in traffic, whether they saw you or not, will be hung at the closest gallows. Hello, somebody. I know I'm talking to somebody. Amen. You know, the first time somebody spoke your name and did you wrong, you would be cutting out tongues and chopping off hands and everything else, trying to let people know, you stretch your hand towards me again, this is what's going to happen to you. Now, do it again. Do it again. Wait a minute. Hold on. What if they had the same power? You see that? So with power without constraint, or power without perimeters, it's destructive. Amen. I shared with you before that an explosion is a terrible thing unless it's happening within an engine block or a reactor. Amen? The difference between the splitting of atoms that level Hiroshima is that it happened outside of a controlled environment. So the atomic bomb actually created the blast that leveled cities, caused such devastation that those who were opposing decided that they was just going to go ahead and give up. You know? And actually the second bomb was dropped while they were signing papers, trying to get out of another bomb being dropped. You understand? So the thing is that power without constraint is destructive. Amen? That means that when we begin to look at who God called us to be and the authority that he's delegated to us using the name of Jesus, amen, as we begin to move forward with that, we have to do so within the confines of this here word. Amen? The Spirit of God would never speak outside of the word. He doesn't. Amen. It is the word that validates that it is the Spirit of God speaking and not your flesh. Amen. I said yesterday to a young man, I said, there's too many people out here prophesying off of the pepperoni that they had that night. Oh. Prophesying through the bacon and the ham that they had earlier in the evening. That pork chop is speaking, you know, the inward parts of your heart and not the secrets of God. Amen. So that's why, you know, you get up and you think that you saw something or heard something and it ain't right. Is that right, prophetess?
Right.
You know, because she's quick to tell you, you know what, that ain't God. And I'm quick to say amen, you know, because we understand that there's going to be some stuff you're going to see and hear that have nothing to do with God. Amen. Perception is truth in that matter. That means that once you say it, once you believe it, then you're going to be trying to prove it. Well, I did. Okay, yes, you did eat that pizza. But that was not the voice of the Lord. Amen. Amen. When we find out that there are people out there who are living for themselves, walking for themselves, then they begin to perceive the will of God as it relates to what they want to do. Messing up the whole thing. What do you mean messing up the whole thing? God tells them to move a certain way. They can't move because it doesn't fit with their view of what God will have them to do. So then, instead of me being the other man, I become the same man. The one that refused to follow after God because when God spoke to me, I didn't want to hear his voice. Because it didn't fit with my personal desire or personal outlook. Amen. A prophetess said when she was younger, she had set out her, 3-year plan, 5-year, 10-year plan of where she was going to be? And did you hear any of those marks? And she said, nope, sort of low there.
Nope.
But but where she what she did hit was she had an opportunity to meet Jesus Christ. And as she met him, he began to restructure her life. Where would Prophetess Crystal be today if she had said, well, Lord, I love you, but this is what I plan to do with my life? She would not be in the will of God as she is today. Amen? And that's why this is important. And he died for all that those who should live should no longer live for themselves. That means that the Holy Spirit is not coming down here to make yourself comfortable. We're pilgrims. We're passing through. We're sojourners. Amen. Huh? We're not here. This world is not my home. I'm not trying to become so comfortable here that I'll be sad when I'm gone.
Right.
You understand? And I'm not saying that I'm going to live bad. I'm not going to say that I'm going to live in lack and in dis-ease. Amen. I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying I'm not so focused on trying to get so far ahead on this world that I'm not concentrating on my heavenly home.
Amen.
You see that? Because we start focusing on, well, I want this and I want that. And the Lord says, listen, I need you to do a work, and I'm going to allow you at this point to have a bout with this sickness. It's going to lead you to a hospital where an atheist doctor is going to have to treat you. And I'm going to work a miracle through you in front of him,
right,
so that he can come to answer some questions or pose some questions that will lead him to the foot of the cross. Will you allow me to use you? Well, Lord, I don't believe it's your will that I should be sick a day of my life. You better, yes, you better ask Job and ask a couple of others. Personal testimony. I'm allowing you to go to some places and deal with some situations where you can witness to some people you would not have access to or have voice in their ears otherwise. It's going to cost you your reputation. People are going to challenge your character and everything else. But after all, you're an apostle. And if you read the history in the Word, you'll see that all the other apostles went through the same thing. Will you accept the assignment? Whoo, Jesus. Lord, help me. I'm telling you today that when we begin to look at how we live, we don't make those decisions easily. Amen?
Amen.
Neither one of those was a personal, easy decision. But when I look at this word and it says that those who live should no longer live for themselves, then I stop living after my personal comfort zone, and I start living according to the assignment that he's given me, but for him who died for them and rose again. Therefore, from now on, and this is where we get into the meat of it, we regard no one according to the flesh. And you heard me say this as we was ending the broadcast. There, even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Amen?
Amen.
So when we begin to deal with this, then this means that as I'm living for him, then he's going to change some things in my life. And my job is not to tell God that I never wanted to do this or I never had a desire to do this, but to say amen to his plan for my life, move according to his will for my life, and do what he's assigned me to do with my life. As I do so, I find out that I walk into the fullness and the wholeness of God.
Amen.
There's some things that I would not have today. I would not have knowledge of people that I would never have met had I not gone through what God gave me as an assignment. Amen. Some of them, I have to understand, it was not so that I could be a great blessing to them and that they could be a great blessing to me. It was just so that there could be on record on the at judgment a witness that you were witness to, that Jesus Christ was spoken into your life and that you did hear. Amen? The choice is still yours whether or not you follow, but you have to have, there has to be on record the opportunity to have heard the gospel. Amen?
Amen?
And when you understand that, then you go ahead and deal with the assignment, and if nobody comes up there to the altar after you have given your best dissertation, then you just go on and say, thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to minister. Go on to the next place. Amen?
Amen.
There are people that we have ministered to, huh? And after we minister to them, we have gone on to the next place, ain't even looked back, continue to do what we do, and they have found us, or Lord allows us to come across the path, and they said, you know what, it was that word that you spoke at this time, and I was upset because I didn't want to hear it, and you spoke it, and as I went on, it stayed with me, and that thing began to work itself out, and I'm just thank God that you came, and you spoke that into my life. Now, what would have happened if I was tied up in trying to see the outcome? I would have gave up a long time ago. Amen?
Amen.
Huh? My wife said something about a lady at her job. She said, for some reason, this lady can witness Christ to this one lady, and she can hear it from her, and she don't want to hear a word from me. Here I am, the prophetess and the pastor and co-pastor and everything, and she don't want to hear nothing from me, but she can hear that from her, you know. And a lady came and said something to her along the effects of, well, what should I do? She's receiving, but she's resisting. And the Lord gave her the scripture. It says, one plant, many water, but God gives the increase. Amen? In your assignment, sometimes you're going to receive increase. Hello, somebody. You're going to show up. You're going to say the right thing. It's going to click. People are going to run down to the altar. You're going to feel good about the ministry. Then there's sometimes you're going to be watering. Amen. They have heard it. They have heard it. They have heard it. And all you're doing is coming in and put more water on a hard piece of bread. Amen. Huh? Eventually, it's going to soften up. It's going to get soggy. Amen. But it's going to become pliable to the word getting into it. Amen? So sometimes you are just doing your job. Sometimes they haven't heard anything about Christ, and you come in to plant a seed. You see that? Now, when you understand the assignment thing, you stop looking for people where they ain't do nothing. When I said something, stop. Get the chip off your shoulder. This ain't about you. Look at your neighbor and say, this ain't about you.
This ain't about you.
Huh? So what you're doing is when you go on and you do what God is calling you to do and you do the assignment, then you'll find out that God will cause people to be blessed because you are in your lane doing what you're supposed to do, and at the proper time, at the appropriate time, at the appointed time, God will send increase. Amen. Now, the increase isn't for you. The increase is for them, because the kingdom of God is the one gaining from that. Amen. But the blessings begin to trickle down to you. And what blessing? The blessings of obedience. Look at your neighbor and say, it's the blessing of obedience.
It's the blessing of obedience.
I think that we suffer in the body of Christ because we're looking for all of this stuff to happen according to what I did. And God's not really caring about the it happening when you did it, or else you become spoiled. Amen? You think that every time that you move, there needs to be a performance of who you are. That's where we get into all this false prophet, false apostle, false pastors, evangelists, because they go out for a show. They learn how to work the crowd.
Yeah.
Huh? So they're looking, every time I get up, I'm looking, Doc, I'm a money man. When I show up, I'm a get at least $10,000-$15,000 easy in your offering, you know, so it's going to cost you about $5,000 for me to come in. But when I come in, I'm going to take care of making sure we raise that money, Doc. So people be paying for these people to come in because they learn how to work the crowd and the audience, and they raise that $10,000-$15,000. If not more. It's easy for them to raise money like that. They've been doing it so long, they know how to word it and how to position themselves and how much time to wait and how much time to do and when to give you that little extra pride just at the point where, you know, ooh, I felt something right there. The Lord just told me to tell you. And people, ooh, let me write a little quicker. Well, I'm so glad it didn't write just before because I need a bigger blessing. Or guess what? You ain't getting no bigger blessing. Okay? Huh? Yeah, or you know, when you use your gifts, thank you, prophetess, you prostitute your gifts. Huh? And this is what prostituting the gift really means. It means when you take the gift of God that he's given you as an apostle, prophet, a pastor, evangelist, teacher, and you begin to use that as a way to gain or make money, amen, what we speak about, 1 Timothy 6 and 6, as a means of gain, amen, and not really to deal with the work within the kingdom, amen, because the Bible says the workman is worthy of his hire. You see that? That means you have to be skilled to do what you have to do. Huh? You see that? That's the difference in those two. Here I am, I'm a shyster, I'm trying to go out and get everybody to get more offerings. So I can't serve anybody because I got to be on top. That means that all the money comes to me. I can make sure I'm doing what I... You see that? So I prostitute the gift of God inside of me because I'm trying to make me. When you're part of an assignment, you see that? And God allows you to use what he's giving you to benefit the body of Christ. There's compensation within the body for your gift. You see that? The priest ate from the sacrifices that were brought to the temple. Amen? You see that? The Levites got, the tithe went to the Levite and the offerings went to the priest. So everybody had what they needed to have. You see that? Nobody was in lack serving in the house of God. They've taken that to another level. Because I can't trust you now to take care of me properly. So what I have to do is I have to fleece the flock. And there are people who leave from their pulpits and go to other pulpits and do that on a regular basis. They come back home, drive big cars, live in big houses, wear big expensive clothes. They got bigger rings and chains and everything than you can point a stick at, but they have no articulate gospel. They can't preach a gospel of reconciliation. They can't preach a gospel that tells you that God wants you to reconcile him yourself to him, because it's all about how much money I can get out of you. I posted something a little bit earlier in a week that deals with that. We have to be very careful. The world is looking at us. Look at your neighbor and just tell them the world is looking at us.
The world is looking at us.
See, I don't think we understand that. We don't believe that. You know, we think this is just about us. Doc, you got to get all you can get and can all you get. Get all you can all you get. But no, that don't really fit with what God said, did it? So while we're doing all of that, the world is looking at us and going to hell by the droves. Because we won't preach a gospel to them that tells them that the wages of sin is death. But we don't want to preach about that because people say, you know, when we preach that, they don't feel, you know, that preaching about heaven and hell is productive to growing our churches. Well, what kind of church do you have where you can't preach the truth?
Right.
We got to get out this seeker mentality. Abundant living and healthy and wonderful and everything is nice and beautiful and okay, all right. You got to get out of that school. Amen? Because while you in that school, you're going to take that gospel and you're going to mess it up. It's going to cease to be the gospel of Jesus Christ. Look what it says here in... It says, therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh, though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet we know him thus no longer. You know, and to show you how this other man transformation works, amen. In Matthew 12, we see that Jesus is teaching, amen. And while he's teaching, down around the 46th verse, it says, while he was still talking to the multitude, behold, his mother and his brother stood outside, seeking to speak with him. Now, isn't it interesting that while you're in the middle of doing what God called you to do, those who are closely related to you will venture down your path, pulling on relational ties. You see that? So here it is, he's talking to the multitudes. He's ministering to them. You see that? And behold, behold, his mother and his brother stood outside seeking to speak with him. Then one said to him, look, your mother and your brothers are standing outside seeking to speak with you. Look at your neighbor and say, they just came for the distraction.
They just came for the distraction.
And you have to be very careful that you don't miss what God is saying, dealing with distractions in your life. It may not be a mother or brother. It may be a friend. It may be a boo. It may be a bestie. BFF, amen? BBFF. Huh? Whatever you want to do. Huh? But the problem is while you're dealing with that, if it leads you away from those that God called you to minister to, Jesus is speaking to the multitude. He's doing the work that he came to do, right? And those who are connected to him come and seek audience. Why did they come seek audience with them? Because Jesus was causing such a stir that they was coming to put him in his place. You see that? Because they were still trying to deal with the old that they knew. Huh? You see that? So they came to deal with him to get him in place, put him in place. Well, you know, I know you back from when. Okay, that was me then. You need to know me now. Amen? But he answered and said to the one who told him, "Who is my mother and who are my brothers?" He stretched out his hand towards the disciples and said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father," you see that, "is in heaven is my brother and sister and mother." So what are you saying? That if my mother comes, I can't? No, I didn't say that. Don't take it out of context. Leave it where it is. Amen. We're talking about your assignment that God gave you. Jesus is preaching, and his family comes trying to pull him out of his ministry. And he has to say, "Wait a minute, hold on. I know who you are, but this is who God called me to." Amen. I'm a spiritual father. That means I have many children that I never fathered naturally. But spiritually, amen, I fathered them. Amen? And you have to understand that as a spiritual father, I understand my assignment. Amen? Look at your neighbor and say, "Do you understand your assignment?
Do you understand your assignment?
Connected to the body, do you understand your assignment?"
The body.
All right? Yeah. So when we understand this, then we don't look for people in the flesh. We look for people in the spirit. Now, I got to know you by spirit. I gotta know your spirit. I gotta know what your spirit is capable of, what you are connected to, and how you actually move, and what it is about you, amen, that God wants to utilize for the building of the kingdom of God. How are you in your current state and in the state that God has called you to? How are you going to be a benefit to the body of Christ? Amen. That means that apostles and prophets, what we do is we look into the spirit and we talk and we speak to the Lord, and he begins to show us certain things. And as he shows it to us, we begin to move amongst those who are connected to us to bring you into a full understanding of who God called you to, number one. But number two, also that you come into a better quality of life. Because as I spoke of before, the blessing of obedience blesses you in every aspect of your life. Amen? When you are obedient to the will of God, then God causes other things that are connected to you in life to come into compliance with the will of God. You see that? Look at your neighbor and say, "As you comply,
as you comply,
God causes favor to comply with you."
God causes favor to comply with you.
Say it again. "As you comply,
as you comply,
God causes favor to comply with you."
God causes favor to comply with you.
So when we begin to talk about favor complying, then God says, "Listen, my child, you are being obedient. I want to bless you. So I know that you don't have proper standing for this, but it shall be according to your faith because you trusted me." And what does trusted me mean? It means that when I spoke to you, you trusted my wisdom. You followed my guidance. So now I'm going to release to you that you could not get yourself. It is a blessing for you.
Amen.
You see that? So now here you are. You trying to get stuff. And God says, "Do it. And go left," and you're talking about, "You know what, I don't want to turn left here. I'm going to go on left a little bit, and I'm going to turn left eventually, but I'm going to go over here." And you run into every other problem. But when you turn left here, God leads you right down the road to the thing that you were trying to get to, going up a little bit further and turning and eventually going left. You see that? Because God knows what you want. Do I need to go into Matthew, the 6th chapter, or Matthew, the 7th chapter? The sixth chapter lets us know that seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. About the 32nd verse speaks about the fact that the Father knows that you have need of all these things. You see that? So before you get to it, God already knew about it and began to structure your steps to fulfill it in you. But it is in obedience to what God is saying, not the clarity of where you're taking me and why we got to go this way. Amen. It is in obedience to what he's saying that you begin to move in faith. You see that? Because faith says, I don't understand why you're doing it this way, but I trust you, God, that you have no ill feelings against me. That's where we go to Jeremiah.
Yeah.
That I know the thoughts that you have towards me are for good and not for evil. You see that? So then when God speaks to me, I don't have to guess and second guess him. I just need to move according to what he's saying. So we got to restructure and reboot our minds. Get our speaking together in alignment with what he's saying. Because God will speak to us, and before he can finish the last period on a sentence, we've already spoken all of our insecurities, distrust, dislikes, concerns, and everything else. And then we said, but Lord, if you want me to, he said, listen, huh?
Right.
It was my will when I spoke it
right.
to you. Don't tell me if it be my will, and while I'm talking to you about my will, you telling me about your likes, dislikes, and this ain't about you. You see that? But Lord, I want more Jesus, more you, more. No. But don't ask me to do that. Remind me of that Eminem commercial. I would do anything, but I won't do this or that. Amen. And that right there, that really, that's interesting. But that really, in a nutshell, describes to a T some of our Christian experience.
Yeah.
Let that marinate, as you say, prophetess. Let that marinate for a moment. Huh? It is that little part right there, this or that keeps us from being fully processed. Because everything God's trying to tell us to, he's not going to tell us about. Look back over your life at some of the hardest things that God has taken you through. Now think about the fact that if you had known about it ahead of time, would you have gone through that? Huh? We all know the answer to that is nope. And God knows the answer to that is nope. So God didn't tell you about that. God said, go through. And you said, go through what? Boom, there's the wall.
Yeah. You see it?
So now if he had told you the wall that you're about to go through, you'd be like, ooh, I got to get around this wall. You don't see that wall right there? No, he didn't show you the wall. You were moving at such a pace when he said turn, you ran right into it. Amen. Ran right into what? Right into the situation that he wanted to bring you into to bring you out of. Why is that important? Because there are other people who are going into stuff or who are in the midst of stuff just like that who need to know that God can bring them out of that too. I don't have to go in your life and pull all your stuff up. I'm not trying to lift up your hem above your head and display. We're not trying to do all of that. Amen. It's not about that. Amen. But it is letting you know that if you find yourself at a place running through something and you fall down and the branch pull your hem up here, that there's a way to get it off that branch and cover you back up. You understand? Huh? You don't have to stay in a situation because you feel that you're the only one who's here, so you stay there walking around trying to prove to everybody that you went into it. Listen, come out of it and then tell others how to get out of it too. I'm not living for me. I'm living for him who died for me. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. If anyone is in Christ. John 6:63, it is the spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. You see that? The words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life. That's why we have to learn how to hear the voice of the Lord. Because those words, look at your neighbor and say, those words.
Those words.
Say it again, those words.
Those words.
They are spirit, and they are life. So how does the devil trick us up? How can we be the other man when we keep falling after the tricks of the old man? We have to learn how not to hear what the old man heard. You see that? Every time God spoke to you about your destiny, the old man said, ooh, that can't be. We got a lot of Marys out here who would have brought forth a lot of Christ, but refused to do so because it didn't fit with their natural view of how things should happen. So when the angel spoke to them, they looked at the angel like, you crazy, because can't nobody do that. Ain't nobody doing that. Ain't nobody got time for that. Guess what? You just spoke yourself out of your miracle. Be it unto me according to your word. Ooh, we back to words. Yeah. How do you receive words? What are these words and how do they transform my life into a better place? If we don't get this together, huh? Then we'll find ourselves looking for God to speak and he's silent. Because God isn't going to speak what he already spoke. Huh? If God has already spoken it, then he's already designed the end of it. Amen?
Amen.
We have to understand that. So we stop speaking against God and moving against God and thinking that those who operate according to the will of God come to do us harm or come to do some other type of, you know, close your eyes. Ooh, I'm scared. I'm scared. I'm scared. God has not given us a spirit of fear. Get I'm scared out of your vocabulary. That's not God. You see that? God, I mean, how many people in the Bible do you see talking about, I'm scared, I'm scared, I'm scared? Stop looking. I'm not mad that you went looking in your mind through your thesaurus or scriptural references that you remember. I'm just going to tell you before you burn, you know, you burn something up in there and we see smoke coming out your ears, don't even worry about that. It ain't there. God didn't call us to that. God called us to the other man. Let's live that life. Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, we'll live that life. Come on, let's pray. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you for this word. I thank you for this opportunity to minister your word and to articulate the mind and the heart of God, amen, to your people. Now, even now, Lord, I pray if someone is not saved, Lord, that they will simply pray this prayer. Father, forgive me of my sins. Wash me in the blood of Jesus. I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. Thank you, Father, for salvation in the mighty name of Jesus.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. Lord, if they prayed that prayer, I pray that you lead them to a Bible teaching, a Bible believing church, that they may be matured, that they may go on to do the work that you called them to do in the name of Jesus. I pray right now for those who are sick in their body. I pray healing upon them right now. I pray for miracle signs and wonders to be released in the name of Jesus. Let it be so according to your word. We're trusting in you. We're using the authority you've given us, Lord, to demonstrate your power in the earth. So we say in the name of Jesus, it is done according to our faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Listen, go to our website, www.ctkr. There you'll learn more about us. I pray that you will become an official partner with us. Help us to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world. We need your finance. We need your resources to help us do so. Help us to be a blessing to the body of Christ. I'm Apostle Christopher McQueen of Christ the King Redemptive Ministries, reminding you that it's God's will for you to live this kingdom lifestyle. Be blessed in the name of the Lord. Come on, let's give God a praise all over.